We pray together. God our Father, we thank you for this glorious day. We thank you for the power of the resurrection. And we pray, O Lord, that you will give us your grace, your Holy Spirit, to be people of the resurrection. May we live out in service to you as the King of Kings. May we hear you speak to us now and day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jenny and I celebrated our 23rd anniversary of coming to Westcott a couple of weeks ago. 23 years of leading, preaching, trying to serve in this community. Also, in this last couple of weeks, the Church of England's daily readings have been taking us through Jeremiah. I missed it, but Jenny pointed out to me that this included Jeremiah 25, verse 3, where the much maligned, unlistened to prophet complained, "For 23 years, the word of the Lord has come to me, and I've spoken to you again and again, but you have not listened." Never let this be said to be true here in Westcott after 23 years ministry. I am sure you do listen. I feel the challenge, though, the 24th Easter we have shared with you. Will you, will I truly take into our hearts the utterly glorious, resounding message of Easter? Over the previous 23 Easters, I've preached, as I realise, probably around a cycle of repetition of about five key themes. Five key themes established by the cross and resurrection of Jesus, the key themes of Easter. There is the truth of the resurrection, physical bodily resurrection. Second theme, in the cross of Jesus, the kingdom of God has come. Jesus is King, King of everything. Now nothing but nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ. In Christ, in the power of the resurrection, all of life is, will be transfigured. Nothing of good is wasted. Jesus has established the way to live. To live in love and humility is the only way to live with integrity to be fully human. So today, in summary, I'm going to outline each of these five themes, each one indispensable for truly listening, truly hearing the Easter message, truly becoming Easter people. The truth, then, of the resurrection, physical, bodily resurrection. We face the indisputable fact that we all die. But often we try to live, don't we, as if we will never die. Death can be an inconvenient truth. The American preacher John Ortberg says a friend gave him a watch with on one hand the word "remember" and on the other "you will die." Ortberg says the person who gave this wasn't a great friend. But nonetheless, looking at the watch was a great reminder as the hours and minutes of life tick by. Remember that you will die. And what happens when we die? Some may choose to believe that nothing happens. Some follow the creed, and it is a creed, a faith of the new atheists, that we are meaningless random accidents, molecules. In the end, it is a matter of faith. What do you trust in? Where does the evidence lead? There is much reason and argument for saying we do have an existence beyond this life. There are other dimensions we do not yet understand. There is the evidence of instinct, natural longing. The writer of Ecclesiastes said, "You put eternity in the hearts of men. Born, live, die does not make sense." There is mounting anecdotal evidence from so-called near-death experiences where a person revives after effectively being clinically dead. And many people talk about experiencing something that sounds like heaven. And these people, others may dismiss all of this as the tricks of a dying mind. And that's certainly famously what the Harvard neurosurgeon Dr. Evan Alexander did until it happened to him. He died from meningitis, but revived and talked about experiencing a journey from darkness to a place of beautiful meadows. He felt himself leaving the universe and being aware of the divine in a place of love. And he says he cannot satisfactorily explain his experience in scientific terms. He says there is no good neurophysiological explanation for what happened to me. So all of this is interesting, suggestions of life beyond this one, but supremely evident, essentially, there is the evidence of our Christian faith. The evidence of the first Christians in their proclamations recorded through the scriptures of the New Testament. We've been reading through 1 Corinthians, and we know that that book was written within 20 years of the life and death of Jesus. And the message is proclaimed: Christ died, he was buried, he was raised on the third day. And the apostles were so convinced of this truth that history tells us that most were martyred rather than deny it. And then we can see the evidence of the resurrection in the risen Christ's presence in the Holy Spirit through the growth of the church and the kingdom of God over 2 millennia. And we see the evidence of the resurrection in the risen Christ's presence in the Holy Spirit in our lives as we turn to him by our daily experience of Christ. So yes, I believe in resurrection, physical, bodily resurrection. But are we listening? Hallelujah, we are made for more than this life. We look forward to the glory of heaven. May we be Easter people. And then the second key theme of Easter, that Jesus, in Jesus' life, death and resurrection, the kingdom of God has come. Jesus is the king of everything. At the start of his public ministry, Jesus proclaims that the kingdom of God is near. He then lives out a life of love, being fully human, confronting the bastions of the power of evil. And this is how evil is overcome. Jesus goes in love, in a love that is willing to suffer horrendously, because this is the only way that the kingdom of God can come. In this holy week just gone, we remembered again Jesus crying out in bitter anguish, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me." But the cup could not be taken. Evil must do its worst. All the forces of the devil were at work in the events of Holy Week. The forces of anxiety, of being overwhelmed, betrayal, being completely let down, ridicule, torture, false accusation, misunderstanding, rejection, agonizing pain, abandonment. And then the final enemy, death, is evident in that last week of Jesus' life. The devil arrays Jesus with all the powers of sin and death, and loses. Love wins. God in Jesus accepts it all, bears the wounds, and brings resurrection. This is the King we worship today, a King who was fully human, who was humble, who suffered, who loved, who forgave, who brings the mighty power of resurrection. So the Jesus of the Bible is King, King of everything. In the words of Tom Wright, Bible scholar, King of life, art, the universe, justice, death, money, politics, philosophy, culture, everything. Is he king of our lives? Do we live it out day by day, making him king of our lives? For hallelujah, because of this day, we worship him who is the King of kings, Lord of lords. His kingdom of love has come. It's here and will be fulfilled. May we live as with him as king, be Easter people. The third great theme celebrated of Easter, St. Paul declared in one of the most glorious verses, in one of the most glorious chapters in the Bible, Romans 8:39, nothing but nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. In the cross of Christ and his resurrection, nothing can separate you from God's love. The curtain blocking you from God's presence has been torn apart, gone. If you be in Christ, turn to Christ in prayer and trust, you can know God is with you always, everywhere, whatever you've done, whatever has happened to you. There is no sin you have committed, no pain you have suffered that is greater than the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So whatever your feelings, may you be subsumed by God's love. Constantly bring yourself back to bathe in his love in Christ. So are we listening? Hallelujah. Nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ. May we this year, through our lives, until we enter glory, be Easter people. And the fourth key theme of Easter, and here maybe getting into more heavy theology and something of metaphysics. The fourth key theme of Easter, all of life is, will be transfigured. Nothing of good is wasted. The glorious physical resurrection of Jesus is the first fruits of all ours to come. In Christian faith, death brings awful discontinuity and awesome continuity. Death is awful in the discontinuity, the end of life on earth, the separation from the person loved. But see in Christian faith the awesome continuity. All that we are, all that we have experienced is raised in glorious bodies that are like our own, but not as we know it. Jesus, in his resurrected body, has all the appearances of this life. He is recognizable. He bears the scars of this life. He eats, talks, and celebrates, but he's also clearly not of this world. He's able to move in and out of another dimension. And so for us, all of its mystery, but see St. Paul's analogy in the 1 Corinthians 15 passage that we had read. The perishable is clothed with the imperishable. Our resurrection will be like the produce of a seed buried in the ground. All the properties and characteristics are in the seed, but how much more wonderful is the produce of the seed? So resurrection brings transfiguration. We have a foretaste of the glory of full resurrection now that will be ours in death, in glory, but we can experience it now as we recognize the presence of the risen Jesus. As in the gospel reading, a night's fruitless fishing is transformed into wonderful abundance in the presence of the risen Jesus. And breakfast on the beach becomes an encounter with glory in response to the risen Jesus' invitation to come. In God's love, with his presence, the ordinary becomes extraordinary, and nothing of good is ever wasted, all held in the power of the resurrection, taken into the glory of heaven. And so St. Paul concludes his celebration of resurrection by saying, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So are we listening? Hallelujah. All of life is, will be transfigured. Nothing of good is wasted. May we be Easter people. And then the fifth and last key theme of Easter that we celebrate today. Jesus has established the way to live. To live in love and humility is the only way to live with integrity, to be fully human. Jesus brings the kingdom by being fully human. He is born, grows up in a family. He lives, laughs, loves and weeps. He dies. God's kingdom comes through God being man. But what sort of man? Contrary to all the expectations, and you really couldn't make it up, contrary to all the expectations of Jesus' day, he comes of a man as a man of humility, of humble service. God eschews the ways of domination and power. He shows that to be fully human means to be humble, to serve, put others first, wash feet, or whatever the 21st century equivalent is. The kingdom comes by humble, loving service, entering the world's pain and suffering and bringing resurrection. There is no other way. And this is how we are to live if we are to be fully human. We may think life is about other things, but Jesus has established it isn't. Simply to be humble, to love, and you will live well. So again, are we listening? Hallelujah. Jesus has established the way to live. To live in love and humility is the only way to live with integrity, to be fully human. May we be Easter people. And so I come towards the end of preaching Easter sermons, the 24th, and I pray it is not the case that for 23 years the word of the Lord has come to me and I've spoken to you again and again, but you have not listened. Are we listening? Am I listening? Will I live this out in this coming year where we move on to Devon, to our lives until we go into glory? While we listening, are we, will we be truly Easter people? To live out the hallelujah, we're made for more than this life. There is resurrection, the glory of heaven. Hallelujah, the Jesus we worship is the King of everything, King of kings and Lord of lords. His kingdom of love has come, is here and will be fulfilled. Will I, will you live out each day Jesus as King of your life? And are we listening? Hallelujah. Nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ. Is there a constant turning to him in all situations to know that love again in our lives? And are we listening? But hallelujah, all of life is, will be transfigured. nothing of good is wasted? Do we go about our days day by day knowing that we are building in God's grace the kingdom that will be taken into the kingdom of God in eternity? And are we listening? Hallelujah. Jesus has established the way to live in love and humility. Are we still thinking that life is about other things when actually we will never be satisfied? We will never find the truth because Jesus has established the only way to live is with integrity, to be fully human, is a life of love and humility. May we be Easter people. My prayer is that you, I, we live this out day by day. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. May we be Easter people. Amen. Just going to keep a moment of quiet for your own pause and reflection and prayer. And if you do think this life is about anything else, if you think it's about money or success or power or comfort or anything like that, then take it to God now and ask for his grace of the risen Christ to be a person of humility, a person of love, to make that the center, the goal of your life. Are we tired or weary? Do we think that good things we do not have effect? Then be encouraged to know that all is kept and transfigured into the kingdom of God. Do you feel that God's love is not there for you? Then come again and know that nothing can separate you from his love. Do we have a faith that sees Jesus as maybe important, maybe, but not actually king of our lives? What would it make? What it would mean for him to be king of your life? And do you hope and live in the knowledge that this life is passing, but we have eternal life through the resurrection with God in Christ?